for his mercy and faithfulness to us.
You know the power of prayer. I ask that you pray for the success of the Word. Appreciate the opportunity to see everybody.
But you know, we're here for more than that. We're here for a much more serious cause than to see each other, than to see faces perhaps that we haven't seen in a while. I believe the Lord has a purpose in our being here. I believe that He ordered this meeting for a reason. I'd like to look at the first chapter of Hebrews. If someone would read the first verse of Hebrews 1, please. Go ahead.
Hath indeed my faith spoken of by the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his birth, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God.
All right. God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God has always been interested in mankind. From the time of creation, He's been interested. Perhaps more than anything else, He's been interested in His creation. And from the time of the fall, His investment and His interest has been in the redemption of mankind, has been in the salvation of those that are lost. It says here that in so many different ways and in so many different manners, God spoke in times past. He didn't just let those go that decided they wanted to go without first giving them the opportunity, without first calling after them and letting them know. So many times you can look down through the past whenever the Lord would send a warning to His prophet and say, "Go and tell my people." It was a warning of something that was to come. Because of the mercy and faithfulness of the Lord, before He brought judgment, He brought warning. You know, the Lord, it says here also, in these last days has spoken unto us by His Son. And in these last days, I believe that He still has a message for us today. I believe the message that He wants to get across to us is that we be ready. That we, as the song says, let nothing here hinder me. Oh, I hope and pray that every one of us here tonight have that desire. That I want to see His face more than anything. It means more than life. It means more than anything in this life to me. To be able to stand at His side. And hear Him say the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, if there are words that can make me shudder, it is, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And so the Lord, in His faithfulness, as He always has through time, calls out after those that are in need, after those that have found themselves in the trap of the enemy, after those who have found themselves in a place that maybe they never intended to get, the Lord is still calling. The Lord is still calling after every one of us. And I want us to realize that the burden that I believe the Lord has for us tonight is not just for the sinner. But it is for every one of us that look for His appearing. That we would hear the Spirit's call if He's calling. If there is a need in our life, that we not turn the other way and go from it. For the Lord is interested in talking to us. And I'm so thankful He is. I'm so thankful whenever I started going my own way, the Lord just didn't let me go. Just didn't turn me loose and let me keep going the way I wanted. But there were times, and sometimes in a meeting like this, I'd feel the Lord pulling at my heart. And I'd feel conviction begin to settle on me. You know, I thank the Lord for that. And I would that we realize the Lord is doing that only in His mercy. Whenever the Lord comes along and touches an area of our life, and we feel that, you know, that's the Spirit's plea. It's the Lord doing everything that He can to call after us. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew 11, the 17th verse. Starting with the 16th, it says, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented." You know, it's saying here that we've done everything that we know to do. We've called unto you in every way that we know to call, God, who in different times, in different ways, has called after those that are in trouble. Every way, every opportunity that He can, He's standing there to call after us. And sometimes it's through adversity. Sometimes it's through reverses in life that I come face to face with who I am. That I realize that I am in a place that I need help. That's the Lord's mercy. That is the Spirit's plea. Trying in every way He can to call after us. We've piped. But the bad and the sorrowful thing here is says that there was no response. Whenever I did everything that I knew to do, there was no responsiveness from you. Lord, help us that that not be us. Whenever the Lord comes and touches something in our life, the Lord doesn't just send a message, doesn't just touch an area of our life just because. He doesn't just send a message for our enjoyment, but there is a message the Lord wants to get across, I believe, to every one of us. And Lord, help us to open ourselves up and to search ourselves. Lord, if there's an area, and I feel the Lord touching a place in my life, that I would respond unto that. Because there is a danger of not. There is a danger of going on the same way that I am and turning my back on that calling and that plea of the Lord. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrew 11 in the 7th verse. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." You know, that was the Lord in His mercy again. The Scripture says in the 6th chapter of Genesis, "My spirit will not always strive with man." There will come a time whenever if they continue going in their own way, and they are determined to go in the path that they want to go, that I will pull off my spirit and my dealings with them. But it said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord in His mercy called after Noah. And the Lord warned him and told him those things that he had never seen before. The Scripture says that in the last days that it would be as it was in the days of Noah. That there would be people, the Scripture says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I have to believe in all those years that Noah was preparing. When he had that message from the Lord, I can't believe that Noah just sat on that. But yet, whenever it came down to it, there were 8 souls. There were 8 people that listened. "We've mourned, and you haven't lamented. We've called after you, but there's been no response." And the time came in that generation that the Lord said, "The day of opportunity is past. There is no more opportunity. There will be no more calling after you." But the Lord in His mercy sent this plea. Will you come? Anybody that will believe. Anybody that won't sit back and scoff and scorn and say, "Where is the promise of His coming?" For since our fathers fell asleep, it's been this same way. But anybody that will move with fear. I said in the prayer that it seems like the fear of the Lord is lifting off of this generation, off of this world, off of so many. And you see so many people going about their way, going about life oblivious to what's coming. Oblivious to what is right ahead if I continue on the path that I'm going. You remember Belshazzar, when the book of Daniel, whenever there was writing on the wall, they were partying and reveling, and he looked up and there was handwriting on the wall. There was a message sent from God to that man. And that was a message of judgment that was sent to him. That message said, "You've been weighed in the balance. I've weighed you. I've evaluated your life. I've examined everything about you. And the verdict is in. You're found wanting. You're lacking." He was partying, reveling, so oblivious to what lay just outside the city gates, where the Persians had gathered their forces, and as history records, they had rerouted the river Euphrates that went through the city. And right there, there was danger waiting right at the door, but they were so oblivious to it. Reveling on, you know, this generation is the same way. Just reveling on, going right on the ways of sin and the ways of life, so crowded about with the cares of life, and look what's right ahead. But I believe even in this day, the Lord's still sending the message, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare for judgment's coming. The Lord told Israel, after they had turned from Him, in the book of Amos, He said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You know, that's again not just a message to the sinner, but to every one of us. Prepare to meet thy God. Because the time is coming that we'll stand before Almighty God. And on that day, I don't want anything here to hinder me. I don't want there to be anything that I've been holding on to in my life that might hinder me. We live in what I would call a sensational age. It's hard to get people to move. It's hard to affect people. We live in an age, video games, Hollywood is becoming increasingly violent for a reason. Because there is a degree of violence, and after a while people lose their sensitivity to that. It loses its edge. No longer does it have the shock factor to me. And so they go and they start wanting and longing for something that still has a little bit of a shock factor to it. Something that still has an edge to it for me. And it progressively gets worse and worse and worse. More and more violent, more and more graphic, just to be able to hold their inches. You know, that's the sensational age I'm talking about. And people are getting so crowded in with their minds by the sensationalism of sin and all that's going around, and the Spirit's still trying to plead. The Spirit won't necessarily try to drown out all that noise. We have to be willing to listen to the Spirit's plea. That still small voice that's calling after us. There's a song we sing that says there's a line that is crossed by rejecting the Lord. There comes a place to think of Saul, a man that God chose, ordained to be king over Israel. It says after he was anointed king that he went up and prophesied. But there came a time of progression over the years that Saul began to turn his back on the Lord, began to go his own way, began to make his own judgments, make his own decisions. The Lord will let us do that. The Lord will let us take our course that we want to take. But there came a time where that voice that Saul one time knew, the voice that he one time heard, he no longer heard. And it said that he sought and he asked of the Lord. Something, he came to a time in his life when if ever he needed the Lord, it was then. And he sought after the Lord and he said he received no answer. And he went to the witch of Endor. He had to turn and turn to something that he could get an answer from. The Lord had lifted his presence up. You know, that's one of the most desperate places and things that we ought to fear. Whenever the Lord deals with us, whenever he touches something in my life, it better move. I better respond to that thing, because if I continue, there is a line that is crossed by rejecting the Lord. And if I cross over that, I'll get to the place that even if I want to turn around, I may not hear that voice. I may not hear the Spirit's plea calling after me. Folks, that's a serious thing. Scripture says, talking of those who have had their conscience seared by a hot iron. They've been desensitized. They've gotten to the place that they don't feel the Lord's dealings. Another song says, no more stirred at God's appeal. Gotten to a place that my soul no longer... Remember, perhaps whenever you were a child, I can think back to my childhood, the Lord would deal with me. I'd sit in an altar call perhaps, and I'd realize I had a need in my life, and the Lord would touch that, and I'd be so broken. I'd be so humbled by that. You know, we need to have a heart like children. We need to be in that kind of tenderness. Job said that he maketh my heart soft. That's the kind of condition that we need to be before the Lord. Lord, whenever you touch something, I'll let it be pliable. Whenever you deal with me, I'll let you work. Because if we begin to reject that, we'll get to the place that we're no more stirred. We're desensitized, we're numbed, our conscience is seared with a hot iron. And it can happen to any one of us along our along any line, if we begin to lose the sensitivity to the Lord's dealing on our life, we'll begin to get to that place where we no longer hear as keenly as we used to. We bought, a couple years ago, I guess, two dogs, Great Pyrenees dogs, big dogs. And to keep them in our yard, we buried an underground fence. And there's a training program that you have to put them through. It takes about 10 days. You leash train them and you take them up and they're wearing a collar. And as you approach the line, the boundary line, it beeps. And if they continue getting closer to the fence, then it starts to vibrate. And it starts to shock them if they continue going. And so you bring them to that place, and as you're training them, you let them hear that, and you back them off and reward them, and you let them go and so forth until they learn that sound. Until they learn and they recognize whenever I feel that tingle. Whenever I feel something there, I better turn around because there's trouble ahead. You know, the Lord, by His Spirit, tries to work with us the same way. There are boundaries and there are lines that we cannot cross over. And the Lord, by His Spirit, if we'll allow it, if we will be sensitive to His dealings, as we begin to approach one of those areas of danger, we'll hear a beep. A still, small voice calling after us. A still, small voice trying to turn us around. If we continue to go, the Lord may, in His mercy, let it get a little louder. Maybe the Lord will send something a little harder our way. Maybe He'll bring us to a place that's a difficulty in our life. And it seems like I come to the end of the road. The Lord's trying to turn us around. The Lord's trying in every way He can. You know what I found with those dogs, though? They were stubborn. And we trained and we endeavored, but it still seemed like when we were in the yard, they'd do great and run around and stay confined. And we'd go in the house, and just a little bit later, the neighbors would come over and say, "Your dogs are in our yard again. They've gotten some of our eggs from the geese." And it over and over and over, they'd break out. And what they'd do, they'd find that it would hurt. It would sting them. But if they would run for it and they'd break over that, there would come a point that it no longer hurt because they were out of range of it. Because they got to that line and they crossed over that line and they kept going and no longer did it sting. And so we over and over to the point we finally had to get rid of the dogs and give them to someone else. Same thing will happen to us, folks. If we continue on overriding the Spirit's dealings, overriding those checks in our life and those still small voices, the voice that calls after us, turn, whenever we turn to the right or the left, that tries to straighten us out, if we override that. Think about Moses. Whenever the Lord was calling after Moses. And he came by and he saw a bush that was burning. Moses turned and he went to behold that. And when the Scripture says, when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to see, that's when the Lord spoke to him. You know, there are things the Lord allows to come in our life that are to wake us up, that are to get our attention, that are designed to be that shocker, that vibrator that causes us to realize, I need to stop. There's something here the Lord wants to get across to us. And if we will, yield to that. And if we'll turn aside in that place, the Lord will meet us and talk to us. Our hearts, Scripture, Psalms 51 and 17, tells us the condition that our hearts should be in. And a promise from the Lord. Psalms 51 and 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. You know, I've counted on that. I've stood on that myself before. This is a promise from the Lord. If we will come before the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart, where I'm ready to do business with the Lord, that I'm ready, the Lord, I realize the Lord's touching an area of my life, and Lord, I see that and I yield to it, the Lord will meet us there. Says that He will never despise that kind of thing. The Lord wants that kind of brokenness and contriteness from every one of us. Whenever the Lord shows us an area of our life, saints, let's not be satisfied to just continue on, to just go the same direction and have a complacency or a carelessness. If the Lord shows us something in our life, it's something that He wants us to deal with. Lord, help us to do just that. Hosea 10, 12th verse, it says that it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon us. We need to have the eagerness of spirit whenever I realize I have a need, that I seek the Lord and I have a sincerity of heart, that I come before the Lord and He'll meet us in that place until He rain righteousness upon us. That's what the Lord's desire is. Do you know there is no reason for any one of us to go through life with spiritual deficiencies? Because there is a God of heaven that has an answer for every need that we have. And there is no reason or excuse for us to go through life not taking care of those things. I think about the man that the Lord found at the pool of Bethesda that was crippled and was maimed. And the Lord asked him the question, "Will thou be made whole?" And I believe He asks the same question of each one of us. Do you want to be made whole? The Lord has the healing for whatever need we have in any of our lives. Whatever place it is that the Lord touches our life, He's asking, do you want to be made whole? You don't have to put all the pieces together yourself. Just come to Me and let Me work it all out for you. The Lord has that kind of healing, that kind of salvation. I appreciated the song we sing. There's power in the blood. That blood has lost none of its power. It's lost none of its ability to save or to deliver or to bring us out of any trouble that we might have. Any area of our life that maybe we as saints have struggled with, and the Lord puts His finger on it again, there's power in the blood. There's power in that place when I come and I seek the Lord until He rain righteousness upon me. Lord, I've come to You for this again, but here I am again. Lord, I've come before, I need something. And I'm going to seek the Lord with a contrite and a broken heart until He rain righteousness upon me. David said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of God, that I may behold the glory of His countenance." That needs to be every one of our desire. This is about more than a man's guilt trip that someone might put on us, but it is the desire that I have to have a clearness in my relationship and walk with the Lord. The desire that I have, Lord, I want to be able to behold Your face. I want, whenever this life is over, to be able to look and see Your face. I don't want anything to hinder me. That should be the desire that motivates every one of us. When the Lord touches something in my life, that I not draw back, I not withdraw from, I not run and go the other way. Oh Lord, in His love He's touched me, and I should respond to that. God brings us to places in our lives that are decision points. He brings us to crossroads in our lives that we have to make a choice. He told the children of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." We come to areas every time the Lord touches something in our life. We're at a crossroad right then. Whether we're going to continue on and allow that to stay in our lives, or whether I'm going to come and fall on my face before God and take care of it. And if we should choose to go on our way, it will have an effect upon us. If we ignore the dealings of the Lord, if we override it, if we think, and I've done it before in the past, I'll put it off. Whenever I get home, or whenever I, later, when it's more convenient, I'll deal with that issue in my life. But remember that same pool of Bethesda, there was a time whenever the water was troubled. And whenever the water was troubled, you step in it and there was healing. You know, whenever the Spirit is calling, whenever the Lord's dealing and He touches your life and your heart, and you feel the draw of the Spirit upon you, that is the time to move. That's not the time to play with God and say, maybe later, maybe tomorrow, but I come to the place and the Lord's brought me to a crossroad for a reason. And He's saying, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time that I have given you opportunity to come to this point, and you're at a crossroad. The decision is now yours. I'd like to close in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 22. I'd like to read the 20th verse. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Then I want us to look at the response to that. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, that should be more than words to us. That should be the response and the cry of my heart Throughout all of my life, I have nothing to hide. There's nothing that is a shadow, cast a shadow of doubt over my title. There's nothing that I want to present the question to you tonight, a simple question, but would you be prepared to meet God tonight? If He were to call this world into judgment, can you say, as this scripture said, even so come, Lord Jesus? I'm waiting for it. I'm looking for it. I'm longing for it. Or would there be something that would draw back and say there's a little doubt? There's a little something that I haven't taken care of yet. There's a little something in my life that I know I need to address. I've been meaning to take care of it. Even so come, Lord Jesus, seeing all these things shall come to pass, what carefulness it ought to bring in us, what kind of life we ought to live. We got another dog, Golden Retriever this time, and we've trained her. You know, if she gets within about 20 feet of the boundary, she gets down, she drops to the ground on her belly, and she scoots. She doesn't walk, she scoots inch by inch by inch. I'm not even going to get close to it. That's the kind of mindset I believe the Lord wants us to have, that I won't even get close to it. If there's something that might hinder me in my life, the Lord's touching something in my life, I want to respond just as that dog did. I want to drop down on my face before God and say, Lord, work what you want to work in my life. Lord, I surrender to you. I yield to you. I'd like to look just a few verses before this. The 17th verse. Yeah. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. This is, again, more than man's plea. It's more than man trying to put a guilt trip on us. I've been in places where they, at this point, they begin to play the soft music and somebody will get up in the microphone and begin to speak real softly. I'm not interested in that. But what I am interested in, if the Spirit is calling on any area, if the Lord is touching your life on any line, and you feel the drawing and the wooing of the Spirit, what He's saying to you is come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. But there is a response that I must have to it. It says, let him that heareth say come. Let him that hears the call, him that hears the Spirit's plea, say, Lord, I come. Lord, I surrender. I'm finished holding on to it. Lord, if you want to touch this thing in my life, if you want me to turn around, you know that something like this, the Lord wants us to do more than just go away and have enjoyed being here. But I believe there are places, perhaps even in some of our lives, the Lord wants to make some drastic changes. Wants to bring us to a place that says you cannot go that way any longer. It's time to turn around. It's time to do an about face. It's time to turn. It's time to make some adjustments in your life. And the Spirit says, come. If the Spirit's calling you tonight, would you come? Could we stand and sing, perhaps, I believe it's number 394, The Last Call? Amen. Yeah.